AMDG and FT. We are welcome in this meeting of the Portfolio Committee on Rural Development and Land Reform. After the several meetings that we had, after the public hearings that the committee conducted in all the provinces with regards to the restitution of land rights amendment bill, and also after the stakeholder engagement. Before we proceed, I will allow our committee secretary, Ms. Miriam, to indicate the apologies that we have received, but I think committee members are aware that Honorable Mungoni has got a bereavement in the family. He can join us if possible, because I'm not sure of other apologies that have been forwarded to our committee secretary. Over to you.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, members. Good morning, CM. Good morning, colleagues. I've got an apology from MP Podekulu and MP Walters and MP Barbara. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much. Those are the apologies that we have received. Before we proceed with our meeting, we know that last week we postponed some minutes because we were with our stakeholders. So we felt or we agreed as a committee that you need to adopt those minutes. We know that what is the procedure of Parliament with regard to amendments. Secondly, there were minutes which were not adopted. The minutes of the 18th of April were not adopted by the committee. Our committee secretary has received a letter from the lawyers of the ITP requesting those minutes. So we've said we're not going to forward those minutes because the committee has not yet missed that those minutes are not formal. Firstly, they need to be adopted by this committee. Then after being adopted by the committee, then they can be used as a public document. So those are the members, honorable members. I don't know whether you want to comment before we proceed with our minutes.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. Good morning, Dean and Kim. Hello. Thanks. I think we need to act with absolute caution when it comes to dealing with the ITB, given that they have been taken to court by a number of institutions. Even the people who are asking for minutes, we need to know why they need the minutes, what are they going to do with the minutes. It's an unusual step. More importantly, we need to be sure that the minutes are indeed an accurate reflection of what took place. Because there is a possibility, Chair, that you may be enjoined by one party or the other in the process. And so in order to be sure that your position is covered, in other words, the committee will can attest whatever you would be needed to say in the process of cost proceedings, then we need to be sure that our minutes are actually connected. But the point that I wanted to stress was that we absolutely should be smart in the way in which we deal there. You know, we will issue the rating to the ITB and that our resolutions are based on sound reasoning. Otherwise, we could find ourselves able to answer unnecessary questions and uncomfortable ones. Thank you very much.
Another one is.
Then Chairperson, I'm covered by the Honourable Sintane, of item 7, in about what he quoted or said, because we need to be acting cautiously now when there are these depths of needs that are needed by the lawyers. So, Chairperson, I agree with you. We need to adopt those means so that we deal with what we know. Thank you very much.
So as I said, this is a non-issue. The minutes of the committee are open to the public. Anyone can get access to our money. So there's nothing to come about here. Thank you.
And Honourable Matimbi, we were talking about the minutes that were requested by the lawyers of the IGP. So that is why we were discussing it. There was no need even to discuss it, but procedurally, you can't distribute the document of the committee or parliament without any resolution or before they are being adopted. That is what we are saying. But after we've adopted the minute, it's free.
Yeah.
We can send it to them. That is what we are saying. Otherwise, it's not a challenge. Can you proceed? Honourable members, minutes will be created by the committee 33. The minutes of the 18th of April. Yes. We want to recess. We run constituency, that is why the 8th of February. And after that, we had the public hearing, so there was no chance for them to upload the minutes. Page 1 of the minutes. Page 2 of the minutes.
Chair, I assume we are at the 18th of April.
Yes.
Chair, the moon lady is just a sequencing error. We're going to the apologies. It's a William Abia, African National Congress, K. Matsimbi, Democratic Alliance, MP Mariela, nothing, MP Walt.
Page 3 of the minutes.
Good morning, and my approach is fair. I have been foregrounded in approach, but I'm honored of the first sentence here. But I think that you need to rephrase, especially because that matter will definitely go to court as well. The MP will consult legal services about an alleged ill-advised electoral committee. You see now an allegation in some courts, I never made an allegation. I think it was an issue about fine-tuning our approach. That's 4.2 on page 2, Shesha. I think that approach is absolutely incorrect and wrong, and I also don't own up to it. Yeah, it says anything with consultancy services about an alleged ill-advised. You see, allegation is something serious. It can even be turned on to a charge. It's a challenge. It is. That phrase is absolutely incorrect. It has got to be reformulated. I don't know if it's the correct one. But I was saying that they need to fine-tune, that they need to be certain, to ascertain the correctness, you know. Once there are allegations for the flowing, then that's another stage, or not at that stage of an allegation at all. Thank you, Chair.
I'm still on page 3, the item 5.22. 5.22. What is the follow-up of that item? Last sentence. at the date of the meeting, the department had not resolved the disputes.
I think it would fall under matters arising. Now we're just correcting and also making corrections and also make sure that the content is correct. Any other matter? Can I get a move on with the correction that would be made on?
Yes. I mean, looking for the adoption with corrections.
And
The 9.2 comment was concerned about the role of Mr. Mabunda. He, in fact, was alleged to have received 81 million rand, not 81,000.
Thank you, Chair. I'm checking for a point where we summarize certain cases that we ask that the department must make sure of CBA that in our legacy reports those issues are sorted, done and dusted. To me, what was there about 7 or 8? We did list them on the record. So I'll ask the secretary to go back to the record and it must go on the record because it was a strong request or directive to the department to really set those aside so that we're ready to put them as part of our legacy report solution. I can't see them there.
Look at that and isolate the issues where we need to make them follow up. Okay. Page 5.
Thanks, Honourable Chair. 11.1 highlights on the discussion. The committee intends to apply for a forensic investigation to those who are alleged to have misused funds from the trust, which is not entirely what we requested the forensic audit to be on. We requested the forensic audit to cover the entire Mara deal from the purchase right through to the 960 households, 80 households. So it wasn't just on who's misusing funds or misappropriated funds, but the entire deal. If we could have changed that, please.
Correction that
the other matter on page 5, the minute? Yes. I don't know if you should reflect, but in fact, Honourable Rooney had indicated that I should draw a draft of resolutions and submit to the committee, to which the committee would then look at it, and then you would then draft a resolution to the minister, or an opinion to the minister. So I had submitted those resolutions from our side, and I trust that the committee members and yourself would be included in that email if it was sent out by the committee secretary. Thanks.
Can I just make some corrections on that one? Honorable Mbuni did say something, although I don't remember well about him. In fact, he supported you about the forensic investigation. But we have to follow the proper procedures. That is why it's not indicated here. Because if we discuss the wrong procedure, we're not going to indicate here in the minutes. But we know the procedure that as the chairperson of the committee, I have to write a letter on behalf of the committee to the speaker's office. The speaker's office is the one that must refer that letter to the office of the minister for better processes. We're not disputing that one, but you must follow proper procedures. I don't know whether you agree on that.
I agree, Chair, and I think to question that is probably not the right platform now, so maybe let's just get through the minutes. Thanks.
Honourable members, minutes of the 30th of June
2018 were tabled. Some corrections were made. Can I get them over for adoption? Honourable Mbuni.
Come for adoption, Honourable Chair, thank you.
For adoption.
I'll second that one, would you?
Honorable Robertson. And when I was here, only on the same WhatsApp group.
No way to go.
Can we proceed to the next minute? Honorable members of the 14th of August. Page one. Can I get the moment for the adoption? The minutes of the 14th of August 2018. Honorable Matelman, for the adoption of the minutes of the 14th of August, any second?
Shall I second with the suggestion that the if we cite certain bodies that presented like Mineral Council, there was also AgriSA, but there were also then the other bodies who, so I do not know the format issue that I'm concerned with, so we can't just list the Mineral Council. We're not driven by them, but they were one of the stakeholders. But to their view, there was also AgriSA. Maybe the principle there was to raise, I'm cautious that those issues definitely these would go to court. So I think that we must not be pinned down to the record. If we take Mineral Council, they go alongside AgriSA, definitely they were opposed, but committee did raise issues. There have been a number of all other stakeholders who are discussing, but within the context and indicating that within the context, I remember Annika Glanson saying, no one is objecting to reopening the justice, this concern must be addressed. So, yeah, I'm worried about lifting the World Council chair there. And compared to quite a lot of strong points out and EFTA, we were saying we're moving slowly and so forth. I would then second the adoption chair with the view that the logic of that paragraph or that whole section 5 be really aligned. Nothing new created, no distortion, but we can't report it though it was the main issue of Admiralty Council.
I agree with you on the issue of construction with regards to the slow power with regards to the pace that is slow with regards to the finalization of legislation. But Anika and Agri SA were on the following day. So those are the minutes that were going to consider after this one. Yes.
I'm corrected, sir. Absolutely. Thank you.
Can I get a move for the adoption of the minutes to the correction?
I moved and second one.
Okay, thank you very much. We move now to the one to have the that most of the presenters are effective and indicative by the Okay, the other one is 4.6. The last line 22. It started by Corona. I propose that we delete that sentence because it says we're saying currently it has not yet been accepted by the National Assembly nor the National Assembly.
Support or not support the extension of the land terms?
Okay.
Did the high level panel, Anika Klaas, the professor, Anika Klaas, did she come out and say that they support it or they don't support it? That they support it. So there's a slight turn in that. I must say.
Switch you off. I'm so sorry, sir. I was merely raising hand to request that you've seen a consultation made that at that. There was presentation by parliamentary legal at the end of it all. In the same sense that a bill that emanates from the executive is at the end of it, then the department, when it's coming from the executive, will then reflect on those issues. So I am just asking to be helped to spot it in the minutes. In the event it's not there, request that we might need in the event that it's not there, Chair, that we might need. Remember, the parliamentary legal having been the drafters in the technical sense now, then reflected on overall. And therefore make indications. At that indication, they could have said, no, we think we can't proceed on the strength of the issues raised or whatever. But on the overall, they made a good summary that's on record, but I can't see it on the record, or even one sentence just indicating that there was such. It's a for the good. It's clear, Chair, we are in the course you write, Chair. Now, shall I suggest that our management team, as in the technical management, should meet immediately the following day and iron out issues emanating and implementation plans so that we are quite smart. It's clear that on every issue, on every board step, we'll end up in court, and we are very clear that we are doing so well. But at admin level, if things go as they stand now, with spelling errors, no quality controls, how do you say the department quality assured documents when Parliament comes with every essay written as a research, whatever? It's unacceptable. I think that would be clear. I wish I go on record on it. Let's just be fine and refined and indicate that we are a National Portfolio Committee of National Parliament. Let's proofread, let's have all that honorable Shongo's legal tools. Remember that having raised the issue about tracking all our resolutions and discussions and all that. So I really support and lay emphasis, Chair. Our minutes are open, let everyone go there. Our content, the policy, the political content, we are so convinced about it, but it's clear that at this minute level, we might get some surprises, and it would really be, I'm a whip of the ANC. For my member to appear under the DA, with due respect, we've got good relations with DA, that shows that the cut and paste, the things are just being thrown anyhow, and that time must come to an end now, because we are all under pressure. And we must face that pressure with the complete confidence. I'm just emphasizing the importance of the volunteer raised by Honorable Chabelengen, to which you also alluded. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Filter.
Thanks for the opportunity to share. I'm glad that the issue of the quality of our minutes has finally come to be considered seriously by the committee. You may recall that I'm one of those people who write about it as early as 2014. And in support of what Honorable Nguni is saying about the follow-up, so to speak, checking, I would suggest that maybe once a quarter we meet as a committee, like an hour before any of our invitees come, so that we can, on our own, look to see what needs to be said or something like that. I'm not sure about time. It's just to say let's allocate a given amount of time. Because whenever our guests come, they come for a specific purpose. And so, because this would be an internal committee matter, allocate time so that we can look at those issues that need to be checked.
Thank you very much. I think we are working together with our support team, but we need to educate also one another where there are weaknesses. We must just identify the weaknesses. We are empowering them. What we are emphasizing today is that working together. Because if they work together, if I can't realize the mistake, Pumla will realize that mistake. If Pumla can't realize it, Manelik will be able to realize that mistake. I think it has been mentioned. But also to emphasize to members that we took that resolution. I still remember. If we can go back to our minutes, we'll set before we start with the committee meeting, we must have an hour before with our researcher and content advisor briefing us about what they've identified in the report that has been submitted. But the challenge that we've experienced, honorable members, that they need to correct is the issue of time. Because if we're not able to catch time for two positions, we do it one, two, then we left them, then it's a problem. We took that position, if we can consider the minute, then the minute. Let's make sure that we continue with that. If we agree today again, that let it be a norm that we meet 1 hour before they brief us if necessary. If there's nothing to brief us about, there's no need for that meeting. Because there are issues where we don't need any briefing, there are issues where we need briefing. But if they brief us saying, let us be here at 9 or half past 9, let's make sure that we are here, they prepare themselves, they come and brief us. I also request them to go back to what we have said to them they must do. Be here on time to prepare ourselves. Can you proceed?
Yes, sir. Shall we just request, say, when you find that you give us a privilege just to look, so that we don't speak on an item that's like still gonna follow or that structured also. Thank you. If we don't have an agenda, it will be pointing to the earlier discussion concluded by Honorable Kildan.
Support staff, that is what members were saying. Can you make sure that before we arrive in every committee meeting, we check whether all documents, that is the quality control and monitoring that we're talking about, so that we make sure that everything is in order. We can't correct other people if our house also is not in order. Let it be corrected. I think it has been noted. Yes, I think that is why I'm saying let it be corrected. That is the quality control that we were talking about. So it has been noted. Continue the way you were doing it. I think it was just an oversight. As Honorable Chabelin is saying, that each and every time we have agenda, it's for the first time today. So I think kunukulu wasixolela nathi sonile. Nani namuhla sizonixolela. Zethu izonobe zizinkulu umvula lo. So ngesicela ukuthi ningenze izinkulu udlule ngoba sizokwenza ukuthi singandixoleli. Sanixolela ukuthi for the first time it was an oversight. A mistake and then I'm going to have a good bye. But an opposite, just to highlight to the members that we were supposed to get an input by our content advisor. Last week, we members are aware that we got an input from Mr. Bukhatsu. Is this the right response? And I am Swati. These are the link I'm going to ask. I'm coming out. I'm Swati, they're going to get signed. Then. Miss Masala. So we get an input from our legal advisor and also from the department, if I remember well. Today, our content advisor and also Ms. Pepetega. I'm not sure whether Mr. Pepetega is supposed to bring us today. Okay, if it's not, can we continue? But Prince has done his job. If there's where you want to advise members, we will do that. Doesn't mean that since you bring us, then now, today you are quiet. You've got the right to speak. I'm giving you those rights. Over to you, Mr. Manager.
Thank you, Chair. And one more time, good morning. The presentation we're going to be doing is we actually seeing it as bringing forth the highlights from the public hearing that we've had. It's kind of bringing up the issues from the ground back into the debate, and we think that it will enable members to be able to finally get to the stage of deliberating and taking a decision around the desirability of this legislation, the issues will be back on the table. So I'll do the most easiest part, which is to read, and Tendi will take the questions and respond. So we know that we are where we are now because of the Constitutional Court decision that declared the amendment bill in 2014, the 2014 bill, invalid. And therefore, this House has to come back and say, how do we proceed? So the purpose of this presentation, really, like I said, is to bring back into the discussion the issues that were raised by members of the public, but at the same time, having had the benefit of engagement with the stakeholders, you will see that some of those issues will come through into the discussion based on what we also received from the stakeholders. So I'll go straight to the issues. The first thing that people raised when you went up, it was actually about welcoming this bill, particularly those people that have lodged claims since their opening and they've just been waiting, going back to the Commission and saying, where are we? And their claims were sort of being put on hold, or the Commission was interdicted from processing those claims. So the purpose really is also about clarifying, so how do we deal with those 2014 claims, but also issues that were discussed here about people that complained before this Commission said, we never got opportunity to lodge claims. So that's the question, the first question which this committee must deal with. It's the question of 5 years versus open-ended lodgement. From the hearings, we have people who say it's 5 years, who said 5 years is not enough. Maybe we must open the window, openly, people should come and claim going forward. And I think this is we are bringing this matter because the committee must discuss and say, what is the impact of having a 5 year period, and what is the impact of opening this for 10 years or opening it in an open-ended way. I'll try and avoid coming with suggestions, but just bring the issues for members to think through, and when we get to the place for deliberation on this bill, it will be helpful. There was a question around a need for police response to a possible flooding of claims on properties that have already been restored to CPA, trust, and individuals. So what do you do when Manende comes and claims property that has been given to perpetrator, perhaps on the basis that there's new research evidence that has come? We've heard stories about capacity in the commission and sometimes poor research that was conducted in the past. What if now there's a claim and there's new research evidence that says actually Manager should not have been given that land? This land, it belongs to the perpetrator. How do you deal with those kind of questions? And linked to that is the question about resolving what some suggested that is an issue that was raised in the Lamusa matter, which is about what people call, ring fencing. Other people call protecting. I think it's the related protecting the settled claims or finalized claims is the same issue. Is there a need to ring fence? And if you do ring fence, what does that mean when somebody else comes and say and has a valid claim on a particular property that has already been resolved? What do you do in cases where land, the settlement of the claim involves financial compensation and money that's been paid and somebody else comes and it's a valid claim? You repay the money to the new claimant and all that. So those are some of the questions that came up, which we think the committee must look at. The discussion about the HLP recommendations, the report, and the relevant indicative bill, it came up during the discussion, even across the country in the hearings as well as here in Parliament. And it's a matter that we suggest that the committee must discuss and come up with a decision around that. Let's just talk a little bit about privatization and protection of 1998 land claims. We quote from the judgment, where the judge speaks about uncertainty that may be prejudicial to claimants whose claims were lodged by 31st December 1998. And it then says the court did not find it necessary to deal with that matter, especially for the purposes of how that particular section should apply to new and old claims. And then the judge goes to say the question how new claims should be dealt with whilst they are outstanding old claims is fraught with imponderable. It is best left to the legislature to resolve. So we're trying to bring back and say that even the court has sort of said these kind of issues is something that we have to deal with as Parliament, and people on the ground also raise those types of questions. And we've had even here in Parliament when the Minerals Council suggested that actually insertion of 16A does not resolve the interpretational issues or difficulties. Therefore, they want the committee to deal with that and make sure that everything is clear. The other point that came up very strongly is the unintended consequences. And from lodging claims, from opening this, obviously there will be lots of conflicts that come, particularly given the disputes that we already have in some of the trusts and communal property associations, where some people may come back and claim land that has already been from the same CPA but resubmitting the claims on the basis perhaps that they were not included in the first instance, or they've been left out, they've been sidelined. So one of the issues that people raised was around conflicts that may arise out of this, which may in some instances lead to the delays in the settlement of land claims, destabilization of existing finalized claims due to new research evidence. The concerns and objections to the reopening, those that have objected, and one might say that they were not in majority, they complained about uncertainty in the agricultural industry, and I think mainly it was the stakeholders here in Parliament. They argue that the focus should be redirected to post-settlement support. And in that way, land reform could play a very critical role in the revitalization of rural economy. People also raised questions about the timing of the legislation. And this was particularly because of the process with the Constitutional Review Committee, which is about reviewing Section 25. And the argument there was that that process is also looking at Section 25, is looking at Section 25 in its entirety, including that section that deals with restitution. And a lot of calls that came from the public about doing away with the cap of debate, 1913 cap of debate. An argument was that, so if that process say, well, the cap of debate must be dealt with, it means that the Parliament must come back and amend this legislation. So the argument that came was that this bill must, I'll come back to that. They also, a lot of people again spoke about HLP recommendations and that this bill is silent. It does not take the HLP proposals, including an indicative bill, which they argue that could result in positive changes to the outcomes of restitution generally. With regard to the cut-off date, the 1913 cut-off date, this issue came strongly from the Khoisan groups, Khoi and San descendants, who argue that restitution for the indigenous community who were dispossessed from, before 1913, actually it cannot happen under the current framing of this legislation. And many of them strongly spoke about expressed a feeling of betrayal, because at some point they were promised that there will be a policy, exceptions policy, and they said, we've been to many meetings, but that exceptions policy, which they were promised, has not become a reality, and they were saying, actually do away with the 1913. However, we do know that 1913 is a constitutional issue. So those people who spoke about the process in the CRC and this one suggested that perhaps the idea should be to put on hold this legislation, allow the CRC process to conclude, and then come back and deal with this legislation. There were also a lot of operational issues that relate to the capacity constraints and poor implementation. And I think that it came up a lot of instance issues about research capacity verification. And one of the things that came up under verification is an example of cases where restored farms under CTAs were hijacked by unverified members or persons with no right to restitution on those farms. There was issues around maintenance of databases. People referred to cases where files of, their claim files were missing or just did not have information. And mostly when they raised this issue, it was in relation to the National Land Restitution Register. Being skeptical about the capacity, not only the willingness, but the capacity of the Commission to keep that up to date and making it available. We've had evidence about communities saying to get information from the Commission, sometimes you end up having to go to court, get lawyers to help you to access information. They were wondering, is this information going to be available, made publicly available to us? So they brought that to the committee to say the committee must think about what does it mean to make it publicly available. I've spoken about the capacity to resolve conflicts. The issue of reopening of land claims and budgets was discussed at great length. I'm not going to talk about that. People kept on, and I think here a lot of speakers were drawing on the They were their submissions was based on the HLP report, speaking about the 19,000 unfinalized claims and the number of unsettled claims. So the argument was that Parliament must make sure that there is enough budget for restitution, and they're hoping that with the discussion around expropriation of land without compensation, the CRC process might help to demystify the notion, the idea that the primacy of market value in determination of the compensation when the state acquires land. Overlapping and conflicting claims on restored land, I don't think that I have to talk much about this because it's something that I've addressed earlier on. But the question was about traditional councils and traditional leaders who may not have been included within CPAs, but who believe that they have a right to claim. So they might want to claim land that has been given already to CPAs. And I think those who were in Poya Law will remember very well when some of the traditional leaders came and said, but this CPA under my community or my jurisdictional authority, I do not see what's happening with their money. They want the money back to the traditional council. So these are some of the tensions and conflicts that may arise. They complained about communication, and I think here really it's not something that should be included in the legislation, but it's about implementing what is there in terms of communication and updating claimants about their issues or the status of their claim. In that presentation, we just summarized all these things, the issues that I've raised, into a table where we look at some of the, this now includes what came up here in Parliament, the question of the independence of the Commission, and there's a proposal there, the 1913 cut-off date, which is entrenched in the Constitution. I think it's worth mentioning here that one of the proposals we received last week was that the minister should grant preferential status in redistribution to people with historical claim to land which do not meet predate restitution. And we looked at restitution, the principal legislation, section 6.2b, that says that the commission, well, it empowers actually the commission to make recommendations or give advice to the minister. The most appropriate form of alternative relief, if any, for those who do not qualify for restitution of land rights in terms of this act. So here you've got a provision already that can be used. In practice, if we were to strengthen it, but it can be used when somebody has a right that can be demonstrated, can be proven, but it's beyond 1913. Well, that already, in my view, I think we can make use of that. Discussion about the community, improving research capacity, bundling of claims. So we kind of summarized those suggestions in the table. I'll just quickly go to the conclusion and say that what we see from the hearing is that improving the quality of the outcomes of restitution will take more than legislative amendments. And a lot of people argue that perhaps we need a much more comprehensive review of the legislation and look at what are the issues that we have to deal with. And there is a need for improvement in the delivery. That implies or means that institutional capacity must be addressed and to deal with all these challenges. But it also, for Parliament, means, again, this committee taking, as it's already doing, but also doing much more in terms of parliamentary oversight on the work of the commission. Lastly, this confusion about restitution and redistribution, where even people who do not have claims would come and talk to the committee during hearings about the 1913 Land Act, which section 25, which is about redistribution, does not talk about. If we had a much more active redistribution project, it could address a lot of land needs that we are seeing. or we hearing from the people? Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Okay. Dr. Manin, have your comments? Mr. Pesetas, do you want to add? The board members can ask questions and comments on what you
Your chair, there are only two issues. The one on the 5-year window period. There's another option that members need to look at because it came actually in the Eastern Cape. But the 5 years is short. My thing of adding extending to 10 years because they are actually far away from accessing the offices, so even the information gets there late. So that's one issue that members might consider. Two options, either to reduce the 5 years to 2 years or the other. Stakeholders who think 5 years is too much. And that those ones who think it must be extended to 10 years. And then the third one is it should be an open ended. So those three options that we need to consider. The other issue that it might not that came from the Minerals Council, that the issue of do we include the issue of repealing the 2014 amendment bill? Because the argument saying the court actually made the judgment said make that act invalid. Do we actually repeal? Is there any to repeal here? But I think the why there is the need of repeal. But yes, we might consider also talking about that. Thank you.
Another of the members who have been listening, the department has been listening, parliament has been listening, can we comment? Because it's our discussion day today, after all the hearings. Honorable Mbuni, Honorable Robertson, Honorable Hilton, Honorable Makaja, Honorable Mandela, Honorable Michel.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for the presentations. You see, Chair, I think we're going to help Parliament and everyone else because there may have only in all history of a democratic Parliament been one precedence of a member's bill that became an act. And there will have to be reference to that. It was 1998 by Honorable Rob Davis. And I guess there's no history to refer to there. And we might unconsciously be creating a precedence on the issues now, on the steps to follow. I'm just on the issue, Chair, that on an ordinary bill, who has the last say in terms of all parliamentary, except members, Chair? The last say comes from legal, usual, Natia Salam. And I think that the same would have to prevail, even in this, not really about the sitting, but the last say must come from legal, as has always been the case. Yeah? So that when there's reference, we clear that you are consistent, that the legal must then have if it has got to be Mrs. Fanamerva, the head of the legal section, so be it, you know. But I think we need to be very, very consistent because we might be juggling in between research versus the legality or in lawmaking and all that. That's one issue, and I'm firm about it, quite firm about it. Because when it's not nothing, Jekane, I think most of us, we get confused and we think that anyone else is but Unati usually sits here, and Unati, even after members speak, then has kind of the stand. Not because it's not, because of the office he represents. I am suggesting that Mr. Prince has got to be accorded accordingly. There will then be issue that he was also the drafter. There will then be issue that I was also the move. There will then be issue that most of our research support were also research for high-level panel, and they were also supporting the public hearing on Section 25, Now, I think it's neither here nor there. It's about the principles that we all should be able to raise. Chair, then, let me start, because there's no agenda, I'm not sure where we'll end. I do know that another 1.5 hours, I would be required elsewhere. Now, which I didn't want to commit you, I know, yeah. So, at the end of it, Chair, shall I just say something? At the end of it, the eye of the needle is that by the 4th of September, if we're not done with the committee aspect of all this, if we're not done, it's not going to go to the House. So we have a target that is driving us, not chosen by us, not pressing anyone, but the reality is on the 4th of September, Parliament is rising. Programming Week says to me, you better have your committee support writing to us for a second reading debate while you do all those processes, right? From project management, I have some competency there. You really define that and you define your milestones based on the on what you. So there is that 4th of September. It's next week or the other week. It's the other week. That's one point. It's missing anywhere is information I have on good authority first hand. So I think I should just raise that, Chair. Raise an alternative if we don't do that. If we don't do that, Chair, we may have to go back to the Concord and change altogether the submission we've made asking for 8 months, which I think everyone is aware. We may have to ask for something way more above 8 months. Because whatever we do, we are subject to the sitting of the House. The last day is the 4th or the 5th. Week after next, and then thereafter it will be something else. Chair, the second point that I think is missing is from, that's why I raised my hand first, is because certain issues must guide our discussion. The motion of desirability, or motion of desirability, is a procedural aspect in the rules, Chair. The motion of desirability has got to fit someone. Now there's no agenda, but it's okay, Chair. I agree with you, we would be, I don't think I'm raising it in a manner that's like hitting, but I'm just referring, the motion for desirability, Chair, of desirability has got to be entertained. I think committee support was saying in the last meeting, and we were saying in the next meeting. Next meeting is today. So the motion of desirability would have to be considered, Chair. The first point I wanted to raise, Chair, is I agree, I've been groomed by intelligentsia and academia and all sorts of people. I agree that we must listen to all points. But I do think that points four are really, really missing, Dr. Manenza, assistant. Points four, reopening, are really missing. Now, I say here, I attended 10 out of the 18 hearings. I attended 5 out of the 9 provinces. And in those, there was overwhelming support, more than overwhelming. I mean, you can't, from where I sit, my Honorable Chair, I can't wish for more. I mean, you go straight in Ulundi, where I was skeptical that you get 100%, everyone who spoke speaks in support, raising points, not just as an emotional issue. But the points raised in support, they really very, very scanty and far in between. So it's like, you took the records one side and then you had to deal with the intellectual questions only. So, I am saying, Chair, constructively to our support team, that the points four are missing. It's as if you were in other hearings than we were in others. I was in 10 out of 18, including here at Worcester, where we're all there now, you know. The support was overwhelming and we have recorded it even in the media as such. And we are open to the record of what the people have said in terms of the critical transcript. What Ubani so-and-so said this. So the points are missing. Now, some of us have got to carry the burden to bring those points forward. Because they are missing. What is being raised is really much more. There wasn't, in about the 10 hearings I attended, I can't remember one person talking about the high-level panel. I'm being very honest, brutally frank. I cannot remember. I am human, I can be reminded. I cannot remember one person raising issues about high-level panel or raising issues about Dwar. People were supporting with clear motivations. Let me make example change. People would say there were 21 to 30 days to object in the 1998 reopening, I mean opening, initial opening. We were working, somebody said in Burundi, I was working in Durban, I couldn't go back to go and object within that 21 or 30 days. So these were the issues that were raised. People were, Ms. Teketeka captured some enthusiasm when she said, in the Eastern Cape, people would even say, go up to 10 years, open, yes, we want. So I am lamenting a point that we will deal with the questions raised. They are intellectually necessary. But it cannot be that this record is really an accurate reflection. But I'm not rejecting it, because we will discuss and deal with the points as raised. You know, a strong reference still to high-level panel. I can't remember stakeholders out there, people out there in the hearing room. I did pick up from the chair, because before she went on leave, she did brief me that there were some voices in Gauteng and in Limpopo. But when the five other provinces, one attended, so there was overwhelming enthusiasm. And my challenge to the support team is to say, where are the points that people were saying in enthusiastic support? Maybe later on I'll have the burden to really bring them across, but I was still raising procedure. On the 5th, second, 2 weeks from now, it's either we have that or then on Concord we are again in we are again in contempt. We would have failed to comply with our own request, because on Concord we have set a certain date, and if we don't do it by the 5th of September on Concord, we may have to make amendments of amendments. I am just saying, Chair, also the motion for desirability, just as a procedural issue, has got to be an issue dispensed with. On the responses to the issues that are raised by our team, I think they should be most welcome, but they must really be balanced. Please be balanced. Please be balanced. Please be balanced. We know you participated in high-level panels. This is correct. You know you participated in the Section 25 hearings. It's correct. But talk about issues from the point of these hearings that we held. Thank you.
The next one is still in Manamana. Doesn't it like
that? Definitely not still in Moramora. Just as a point of clarity, a couple of questions that I need to ask. And thanks to the doc for the presentation, primarily. Just the initial cutoff date to 1998, what was the reason for the initial cutoff date when opening of land claims was actually implemented? And what restricted government from going beyond the 5-year limitation or 4-year limitations? The issue that's been raised, prioritisation of claims, of course that speaks to the high-level panel, and the report which is yet to be discussed in Parliament, which I wonder if anybody can actually assist me as to where we are exactly with that, with the high-level panel report. 2016, this committee said that they were going to be throwing resources into finalising the claims of pre-1998. Because of the constitutional court's findings. So the resources were thrown in to try and get as many of these claims pre-1998 finalised. I'd like to know exactly where we stand with that, how many have been finalised since 2016 when we discussed this in the committee. I think at the time we had 9,980 odd that were outstanding. I'd like to know more or less what we've achieved in the last 2 years with all the resources being thrown in. And then there's a dire question, I think, that many people are wondering about, and I certainly have been wondering about, but I don't quite know what the answer is. What is amending Section 25, or how does amending Section 25 of the Constitution going to affect the land claims process, and vice versa. How is the reopening of the land claims ultimately going to affect amending Section 25 of the Constitution? And what are the consequences thereof? Either way, I'm very curious to that. And then also I'd like to know what resources will be made available for the extension of the claims for the following 5 years. Has there been any budgeting being discussed to say that if this goes through, this is the amount of resources that's going to be required, etc., etc.? Thank you very much. Honourable Chair, sorry, I have been called to a meeting at 12:05, if you would allow me to escape, if you don't mind.
Until we expropriate land without compensation. Okay, I'll allow you to go on, then, Honourable Sultan.
I'm building on something that you'll be leaving the work. But actually, my low level team is meeting with the high level team at 12 o'clock. And then I was, because you'll be leaving at about 12:05, but what we do for sake of quorum, that we deal with the desirability thing, and then after that we get my low level team can go and meet the high level team, and we can go and meet this. Yeah, thank you.
What I wanted to guide members on was that currently we look at the bill, the amendment. What are the issues, the critical issues that has been raised by the people, so that we move to that, to the motion of desirability. The question, the resources, those are the operational issues. Yes. So currently, you can just ask a question on whatever that you didn't understand from what doctor was saying, and also on what other presenters were saying, whether do you accept it as a member, what is it, to make it a proposal, but we focus on the bill. We don't start the history of the bill. We look at the amendment. There's a lot of work that is supposed to be done here, but I will just indicate it at the end of the day. But for now, was this going to, must follow the steps, deal with the bill properly. I want the following members just to be on that. You comment shortly, what is it that you don't understand, what is it that you want to be clarified on the issue of the community, the definition, legal gurus, what are they saying? All those things, which because few things, most of the people were repeating one and the same, almost one and the same thing, especially in the stakeholder engagement meeting. But in the public hearings, people were saying, "Kubega malasi, fedan ngan 1998, nuvula matem, ngaba nuafar, sababile gulo, but just buga lulu ispoena bukinati." Related to the
bill.
Over to you, Honourable.
Thanks very much. Let me start off by coming to your aid, considering the indication that's been given by Honourable Mungoni that Parliament will be rising on the 4th. I thought it would be rising on the 11th, according to the programme that we got. But anyway, that's not a major point. But according to your programme, of course, it's the 11th, I think. Yeah. But anyway, what I want to suggest, Chair, is that as a committee, we should decide that there is a weekend we'll have to sacrifice and work on this. The CRC had to do that because they were pressurized by time. We had to work on Saturdays and travel on Sundays, you know, so we need to take that decision as a committee. It's unfortunate that we lost about 45 minutes to 55 this morning on minutes. But I must also go to the CRC at 12:30. today. Now, let me look at the issues, tackle the issues that you said we should focus on. Slide 2, some of the slides had no pages, page numbers, but I just recall that this issue was on the second slide. Let me not say slide 2, rather second slide. This is about old claims, new claims coming after old claims have been settled or finalized. Now, what we should look at is the constitutionality of such claims. If a claim was properly researched and it was settled, is it constitutional for people to file another claim on that? I don't want us to leave that in the hands of the commissioner only, or the commission only. Does it make sense? Because we can have a claim upon another claim and upon another claim. So in this piece of legislation, my suggestion is that let's close out. We're done with that claim on that piece of land, and if a person feels that they have got a reason or a legal reason to force government to have a reclaim, that's another matter. But let's legislate and close out. We'll settle that claim and that's it. If they didn't have a reason at the time the claim was raised by the first group, Group A, we call it, then it's tough on them. Otherwise, we'll forever be looking at claims. We can even go up to 5 claims on the same piece of land, because people will keep on saying, I had the right to claim. I was, I never caught up. I'm thinking about the Bazier example. It's been 2 months that I've been sitting on them, saying, finalize the issue of the people who have not come up, who have not verified, and just using that as an example. I gave up on them. You know how enthusiastic I've been on the Bazaar team. I gave up. The community just don't sit and meet. Finally, Chief Joey said to me, I'm busy in Bishop Regina, and the chairperson of the community is a taxi man. I gave up because I said, maybe these people think that I've got something personal to gain out of it. That's 2 months lost. Because I had made up my mind that we were going to come back to the department to say, please settle this claim, leave out the people who cannot be traced, and then you can look at them later. So you're going to get those kinds of things. Now I'm going to get those people coming back to me and say, I missed out, and then we sit, let's legislate and cut out. Finish and clap. That's my definite suggestion. And then the issue about uncertainty in the agricultural industry, that's a technical issue, and it is raised for certain personal benefits, nothing else. There is no such a thing as the agricultural industry being affected by this. I'll tell you why. Currently, South Africa overproduces food, and there are 13 million people who are currently food insecure. So nobody should come and tell us that the industry would be affected. People are being affected long before this bill came into Parliament, long before the thought of amended Section 25 came for consideration. The number of people who are food insecure was 6 million in 2014. It has more than doubled long before this bill came up for consideration and long before Section 25. So it's just a technical thing to serve its personal interest. Let's proceed. It will be, if people who claim land and they get it have got no capacity to produce food, to address the social problem, government would look at it from that angle. But it cannot be that purely for the sake of a few commercial people, we cannot proceed with land claims. They've got the land, they're producing food, but they're selling it. It's for personal profit. That's how I deal with that. 1913 Land Act, it still amazes me how the people that they came to this conclusion that property is defined only as from 1913. I happen to have been a member of the CRC doing the coastal provinces. This need to extend, beyond 1913 has been over and, impressed by people, stated by people. We have to go back because there is no denial about the fact that land claims should cover land that was taken before 1913. It should be claimable. It is merely because someone thinks that the department of the current government does not have the capacity to investigate and research claims beyond 1913. Tell us what is special. What happened in 1913 specifically? That you say all that can be feasible, especially if at the moment we are able to say, okay, claimants, the class, a group A claim this land correctly, but all of a sudden we're ready to accommodate another group of people who want to claim the same piece of land. So that tells us that there's nothing wrong with 1910. The claims should, this act should provide for claims going beyond 1913. You may have a different administration that may be able to, because you do look at the different types of administration. There may be an administration which has got, you know, an opportunity, or rather the capacity to process claims before 1913. So I suggest that we accommodate claims way beyond, 1913. And therefore, budgets, I know it's a technical issue, but I'll just touch very briefly. South Africa is not short of a budget to do these things.
Can we be short, because some of you apologize, so we must make sure that each and every member contribute and we move forward before we close this meeting.
Just the last point, Chair. About Section 25.7, that is, okay, this is a 1913 issue. Okay, let me go straight to the High Panel report. I think, Chair, it behoves us of this committee to get back to Parliament and put pressure on Parliament to finally consider this high-level panel, report. Because so much seems to be dependent, and we keep on saying it's only a report and it has not been adopted by Parliament. But that was Parliament, that group were not set up just for fun. It's for Parliament now, you know, to finally say, what are we doing now, accepting this report or not? Because its value, you know, its weighting is very much affected by the fact that Parliament has not considered it. So I would suggest that we take a resolution as well to go back to Parliament and say, Parliament, what are we doing about this? Are we considering it, or are we not just throwing it, you know, down the dustbin? Otherwise, it's losing its value. Thanks very much.
And before the next speaker, just been discussed several times in this meeting that Parliament is structured to process the high-level panel report. And also when responding to those stakeholders, it was indicated that there was a committee that has been established to consider the recommendation of the report, of the high panel report. And each and every recommendation, which was, because the high panel level report was not focusing only on land issues. It was focusing on on every department, social issues, whatever. They were focusing on many sectors. So the committee which has been established, the committee, after the committee has finalized the work, then the committees will know those recommendations will be referred to us. And we are not forced as this as committee to implement the recommendations. I must say it, we must not force, we are not forced. It will depend whether we agree, whether that recommendation is progressive, is assisting us to the challenges that we are facing or not, but we are not forced. But there is a process that is in that is in place. Because really, everyone was saying high level report. If now we are supposed to work on the report, and the committees have got other things to do except the high-level report recommendation. So members, the Honourable Filton, there's a process in place. You will get the report, the feedback at the right time. And also I'm happy that you are part of the CRC. The issue of the resources, the issue of the risk issues, every situation will end up because you want to expropriate land somewhere. It must end up because you want to expropriate land without compensation. We want to fast track the land reform. So the issue of the resources will be the issue of the past. We can think about it, but we want land to be given to the people. If we don't have resources, let's change the constitution. As we are part of it, listen to the people, what are the people saying? We change the constitution, we expropriate land without compensation. Nale ya kukta basizo utada umakwane his utada. The next speaker.
I think that last comment is maybe indicated directly at me. ngoba uto funeka uthathe indaba yakho.
Thank you, Sir Pepin, and also thank you for the presentation. What I discovered is that all what he was presented here was also common to all the parties here. Your report covered many of our issues that we got in this public hearing. Sir Pepin has covered me in this special thing. You mustn't worry about this, honorable members. You know, there's this piece of mining areas. Is it a Krugersdorp versus traditional castle? You know,
honorable Robertson, with respect, can you just wait until 5 to 12?
I have to go. My meeting is not locally. I have to travel.
You have to travel?
Yeah, it's not the CRC. I'm not that important. My apologies, I must go.
Okay.
I was talking to person. I was talking to person about the mining areas, the allotment of mining areas, the traditional council. You know, to person, people are not as honest as people. And so, Honorable Fulton is not here. Oh, this is all. We're talking about this 5-year limitation. I think we must leave it. Because, you know, most of our people are not educated. And the information, they are not getting the information as early as we do. I'm talking, I have an experience, as I'm saying, in rural areas, that those who are clever, right, to get the land for those who are not, who don't belong to them, because they know what to do. So that 5-year limitation is good, and then open-ended after that, allotment must be open. And lastly, Chairperson, what does La Mosta really want from Parliament? It's what I want. Maybe I can be corrected. La Mosta, to me now, I think they are becoming mad or whatever, I don't know.
They've got the right to say whatever they are, but we must discuss what they are saying and agree if we agree and disagree if we don't agree with them. Honourable members, can we then move to the motion of desirability? I will first start by reading Rule 286, subsection 5 to members, for members to understand. The committee may propose an amendment that changes the classification of Section 75 to Section 76 Bill, or a 76 Bill, or a Section 76 to a Section 75 Bill, only if a joint checking mechanism is of the view that the bill is amended, if the bill as amended is unlikely to lead to unmanageable procedural complications. 6. In the process of inquiring into the bill, the committee must, where applicable, as far as possible, apply the following separate formal stage: informal discussion on the principles and subject of the bill, including a briefing by the department Now we had a briefing by the private member because it was a private member's bill concerned, and in the case of a member's bill by the member concerned, I think it's clear. Subsection 2, consideration of a public comment that has been received. We have conducted the public hearing and also the stakeholder engagement. Adoption of the of a motion of desirability relating to whether the principles of the bill and the need for the bill are accepted. So the next step now, our committee secretary will read the motion of desirability for the committee. Then at the end of the day, the committee, we know the processes, we know the challenges people will have raised, we're still going to deal with them. Others are not related to the bill, others are still in other services and other redistribution bills that are coming. But now we're focusing on this one. Over to you, Senator.
Thank you, Chair. Motion of desirability. Restitution of land rights amendment bill, B19 of 2017. That in the opinion of the Portfolio Committee on Rural Development and Land Reform, legislation is desirable to amend the Restitution of Land Rights Act 1994, Act No. 22 of 1994, the Act, so as to develop and keep a national restitution register, to amend the cut-off date for lodging a claim for restitution, to regulate the cancellation of claims, to further regulate the appointment, tenure of office, remuneration and terms and conditions of services of judges of the Land Claims Court, to make further provisions for the advertisement of claims, to create certain offences, to extend the Minister's powers of delegation, to repeal the Restitution of Land Rights Amendment Act of 2014, and to provide for matters connected therewith. Do we agree as a committee that it is desirable that this legislation must be amended?
Thank you, dear. 100% I support that motion. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Honorable, yeah, I'm chairing. Honorable Fintana has moved for the adoption of the motion of desirability. Any seconder? Seconded by Honorable Chalkin. Honorable members, the motion of the desirability. Oh, I'm sorry. Is there any objection on the motion? On record, if there's none.
I am Catherine Martin from the ANC. There's no objection.
Thank you very much, honorable members. Now, the motion of desirability has been accepted or adopted by the committee. It means that because we don't have time due to these meetings that are taking place, otherwise we're supposed to continue dealing with this bill at least halfway. But it's promising now that in the next meeting we have to consider the bill clause by clause. Then we know that after clause by clause that is A and B, then finalize it. But due to time, I'm not sure whether there are any announcements from last before.
Before announcement. I can live with the points that are exhaustively responding to the input by our research team. But having said that, we also no one can read the next person's mind. It means the advice to our chair. But the chair must first hear the member out and then, like the speaker, then find the chair staff to talk to them, but not without the chair hearing what they say. I request our committee support from section, but if you are not to do that, and the chair can just for a minute sort of committee and get advice, but not when we're talking, because the chair is not gonna. We accept your apology, chair, for the chair. You had asked that we deal with the issues that have got to do with the DA, because there were lots of other issues that were coming and going. So it's fine. One issue has been raised by Honourable Sildani, the issue about the 11th. My notes here are that on the 11th, it is merely the question of the Deputy President to the House. So it looks like it's an exceptional question. But on programming, the way I have it, having been talking to the programming group, the last day is the 4th. Say again, it's happening. Then say you'll take advice at that point. No one wants to talk into the air. Please. And our chair must not be made to compete between a member on the floor and a committee support on the other ear. You know? So I talked to the programming group from myself who did that. I did yesterday. He went through the program step by step. I went to the chair in the house there to brief what is transpiring there. And I'm formalizing by introducing this into the meeting. So, but honestly, Dana raises the 11. I am clarifying the chair because it was not answered to that honorable visit. The 11th, according to the program, was the honorable Bengu. It is the deputy president. Because it's a requirement in the rule that deputy president must talk in the house 4 times, so it looks like it's that. But I'm just saying, chair, on the issue, it's either the 4th or the 11th, but I can be soft to say we then have the 11th to can do this then. That's the point I wanted to do, because it's procedural, and all the discussion is useless if we don't consider this point. So I think, chair, we might reluctantly say it is the 11th and be at one with Honourable Sultani before he reaches the mission.
Honourable members, the WIP has engaged the programming group. I'm also sitting in the chair in the committee of chairperson's panel for the different date. The WIP has for the different date. The officials have got a different date. I think even the ministers and the deputy ministers have got a different date. So that is what I wanted to say, that let's leave the issue of the date, because according to my program from the office of the chair of chair, it's the 17th or 11th. Kumla has got another date. Can I request members that we just be patient, we check. Today, myself and the WIP are going to the meeting. Maybe in that meeting, we'll get one date. Then we take it from there, how to process our way forward. Because otherwise, we argue and argue with the issue of the date. We've got different dates. I've got the program. Okay. Maybe today, the WIP will be. That is what I'm requesting with. Let's be patient, then and wait, attend that meeting that we're attending now, then we'll take our way from there. Thank you very much. If there are no announcements, let me take this opportunity to thank the DM and the acting DG and the honorable members. Whatever the acting DG has said, I'm going to go to the next one. So, members, thank you very much for your participation. The DM, the acting DG, and also the team. Thank you very much. In our next meeting, we'll be considering close by close with our, it's our prince. Our prince is part of our team. Thank you very much, our prince. The meeting stands adjourned.
Yeah, I'm done.